The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Parents who spend too much time on their phones are impacting their baby's emotional and social growth. Children under three are missing out on things like vital eye contact, responsiveness and interaction time because their parents are too absorbed in their screens. Now, that's a warning from senior psychologists at Children's Health Ireland, and I'm joined now by Anne-Marie Casey, senior clinical paediatric psychologist at CHI Crumlin. Anne-Marie, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, is this just top-of-the-head stuff, or is there research to back it up?
Yes, so there's a lot of research in brain science to back it up, and this week is actually International Infant Mental Health Awareness Week. So it's really providing us with an opportunity to discuss the importance of supporting babies' mental health and well-being. And the theme this year is speaking up for babies. So we wanted to speak up and bring the research that is out there on these little babies and the impact of phones and devices on their development. So infants are born with 30% of their brain development, and by the age of three, Pat, their brain development grows to about 90%. And it's all of the parenting, the constant engagement with their little infant that helps these brains grow. So an infant is born with billions of neurons, but for the most part, you know, they're connected, but they're strengthened through reading to your baby, smiling to your baby, talking to your baby. So it's literally the serve and return of parental engagement that really supports this brain development. But it also means that what parents do and don't do in these formative years have a really profound impact on a child's social and emotional development.
And you can see how the kids develop with that interaction and the eye contact, and they mimic things, they try to copy everything, and that's a learning process. So if the kids are ignored, you know, you might be holding a child in your arm, and yet over their shoulder you're looking at your mobile phone, you're looking at TikTok videos, so you're not getting that eye contact, and you're not kind of really responding to the child, you're responding to TikTok. What damage does that do?
Exactly. So there's a really famous experiment. It's called a still face experiment. And if people, you know, look it up on their devices, of course, you know, you'll see it. And it's just 2 minutes demonstrating how a parent who stops responding to their little infant together, you know, just providing an expressionless face to a little infant, how the infant begins to get very distressed and very upset because of the lack of responsiveness to the other. And Pat, you know, if I was to give you an adult example, say if the two of us were best friends when we were in school and you moved to Australia, I was still in Ireland, we met in an airport, you know, years later, and you come up to me and you give me a still face and I'm like, oh, hello, Pat, how are you? And you give me nothing back. You know, I'm going to feel a little bit like, well, Pat doesn't care for me anymore. You know, we're primed for the social interaction. And unless we get a responsiveness back, it leaves us feeling alone in the world. And for these little infants in their brain development, it leaves them unable to learn, to model what's appropriate for them to really thrive in their social and emotional development.
And I presume it's got to be those nearest and dearest to the baby, those they see around them all the time, which could be someone in a creche, for example. You know, you wouldn't want your creche worker to abandon your baby for the day without interaction.
Absolutely. It's consistent caregiving, and, you know, it's with anyone who's in the environment. I mean, there's no period in life where your human development is so reliant on your external environment. So it's everybody in the village that this young person is growing up.
Now, what about those who say, well, I'm completely exhausted after my day's work. I've just picked up the child. I bring the child home. I feed the child. And then I put the child in the cot or whatever it is. And then I take a screen, a laptop or whatever it is, a tablet, strap it to the sides of the cot and let them watch Peppa Pig. Loads of things to interact with. Does that work?
Well, we know that, you know, And actually, Ethna Gillian and I from the Psychological Society of Ireland have helped inform screen time guidelines for the HSE, which are available online. But we know that actually it is probably the single most important time for infants not to have screen time is just before bedtime. That actually all the guidelines are, you know, your little nervous system needs to get into a soothing state. And these lights, the music, you know, it primes you for activation, not the kind of down-regulating time that infants need just before bedtime. But you're right, Pat, you know, at the end of a working day, we're all exhausted. And it takes an extra effort not to pull a device, which seems so easy. But you know, I'm hearing from parents again and again in psychology clinics, Pat, that, you know, it seemed easy to provide a device, but there's an unintended consequence taking these devices away, the over-regulation, you know, the kind of over-emotional regulation of these kids on these devices is actually becoming problematic.
Now, you don't want to shame parents into reducing their phone usage. You want them to reduce it, but you don't want to go the blame game. You know, your child is emotionally underdeveloped in some way. It's your fault because you were never off that bloody phone.
Oh, exactly. I mean, it's compassion to ourselves in this. I mean, I say to my own children, you know, the people who've developed these devices, it's not your fault. They've just learned how to override your brain, like your capacity to say no, to come off it. I mean, even with scrolling, you know, the algorithms that are behind scrolling kind of invite more scrolling, not less scrolling. And, you know, it's not all bad. You know, we've got the flexibility to do our shopping, our banking, do, you know, get our camp sorted, all from our devices. But really what the research is saying is, stop and notice, take a pause and look to see, is your smartphone usage beginning to interfere with, you know, daily living, whether it's with your children or anything else? Like, is it interfering and interrupting your relationships with others?
I was going to say, Anne-Marie, we know that the Road Safety Authority is big on trying to limit and eliminate mobile phone use while people are driving, because accidents can and do happen with terrible consequences. Now, I'm wondering if anyone comes into A&E with an injured child, you know, boiling water goes over them or whatever, do they ever say, I was on my phone, I didn't notice the child going towards the cooker and pulling the pot over on top of his or herself. I bet they don't admit it, even if it happens.
Well, the thing is, isn't it? I mean, these phone uses, it's a difficulty for all of us, isn't it? There's nobody out there who can say, you know, they're not attached to their phone because of its good uses. But what I would say is the research that is coming out is that physical safety has become a concern. So even in the introduction of the 4G network, there have been more accidents in playgrounds. The research shows that people are actually picking up their phones for, you know, between 3 and 6 hours a day. Or using them 3 to 6 hours a day, but picking them up 50 to 80 times a day, Pat. So this is really habitual. You know, we're going into the habits and breaking habits.
So you're in the playground and your kid is in the play area where there are, you know, some perfectly well-designed pieces of equipment, but you can always trip, you can always fall, you can always get caught by a roundabout or whatever it might be. And dad is on looking at the football on his phone, or mum is doing whatever. And you can see how easily you would be distracted.
Well, this is it, isn't it? You can see how easily you'd be distracted with your phone. But also, Pat, I guess what we're talking about is how you'd actually miss this wonderful opportunity. And, you know, it's precious in life, isn't it, to see your kids, you know, squealing with joy on a swing. You know, those moments will pass as well. But I guess that's the other danger. It's not so much that you're going to miss out on the football scores, but you might actually miss out on this relational health piece with your child, miss out on these moments of meeting with your child. So essentially, we might be actually missing out on some of the good times with our kids because of these devices.
Yeah, so there is that, the missing out of those moments, the physical danger that can come to kids because of the parents being distracted by their phones. But perhaps most commonly and most importantly is mental and emotional development of the child through contact with those caregivers.
Absolutely. I mean, the biggest predictor for school readiness is social and emotional development. And the emerging evidence is the extent of smartphone use around infants is impacting on their relationships, their attachment, but also language learning, like some of the kind of pre-learning in the 3 to 5 year olds. The emerging evidence in the educational world is that there are more delays, you know, kids are finding it more difficult to attend, to do kind of regular tasks in the classroom in junior infants because of the extent of phone use and device use. Because, of course, they're so much more interesting. They're, you know, school can seem so boring in comparison, but the research is showing that there is an impact cognitively as well as social and emotional.
Now, you've certainly struck a chord with our listeners, Anne-Marie. I'll read you some of the texts that are coming in. Glad to hear you're airing the damage being done to children's social development by their parents' smartphone addiction. While I've been focusing on the damage to children's cognitive development by smartphone addiction, the fact that parents are missing out on their relationships with their children needs to be talked about. Parents on phones are physically with their children, but not mentally in the room. Government, mental health services and NGOs need to be promoting smartphone-free days. Use cut-off times in our day, charging your phone in the hall, so outside of the room you're in with your child or even another adult. Healthy phone use that highlights that they're useful but addictive must be talked about. And that's from Mary Siri Carney, who's a regular contributor on this show. I'm not a parent.
That's so interesting because this is actually moving into public health arenas, and we've been going to government now to help inform policy, the HSE guidelines, because we know this isn't a psychological phenomenon. You know, these phones are so powerful and so addictive that we really need to think about it differently. I mean, if you were smoking 50 to 80 cigarettes a day, you'd be doing something about it. You know, but we pick up our phones 50 to 80 times a day and we might not even think about it. So that's really our message.
Yeah. More comments. Let's see. I'm not a parent, so I'm in no position to judge. But anytime you're in a coffee shop, all the mums are on their phones while the kids are sitting there in the buggy or at the table. It cannot be good. I would not like to be ignored as an adult. I see it all the time on public transport. It makes me sad. A parent with a baby or a toddler in a buggy, not a word spoken to the little one because the parent is glued to a phone screen. When mine were little, I'd be pointing out things to my little ones as the bus drove along. It's very sad these days. Please ask your expert, at what age should a baby's pram or buggy be turned out from parents and carers and not facing them? That's from Judy. The idea that you can turn your buggy around so they're looking at the oncoming traffic or crowd or whatever it is versus looking back at the parent.
So I think that's more about head stability. You know, when a baby's looking up at you, it's around the kind of the body stability of a baby when they're turned around to look at the world. But, you know, I would say in those kind of comments as well that all parents are doing their best, Pat. So, you know, it is about good enough, but this is an opportunity to just pause, be curious and wonder about all of our phone use, you know, parents and non-parents. You know, I was walking down the street yesterday and somebody looked at me and they smiled and they were really engaging and chatting. And I was like, oh, my goodness, is this somebody I know? Yeah. And then they said to me, Pat, do you want to go to Wagamama's for dinner? And I was like, oh, my goodness, this is so strange. And then they continued to walk on. And I only realized then they had ear pods on. You know, they weren't talking to me. They were talking to somebody else. But, you know, there's so many potentials, isn't there, for that miscommunication to happen in all sorts of ways. But it took me a couple of moments to, you know, oh, that wasn't for me. And, you know, that sort of thing. So these devices, I guess we just want to bring a little awareness to how we're, you know, interacting with them, and are they getting in the way with our relationships?
Anne-Marie Casey, Senior Clinical Paediatric Psychologist at CHI Crumlin. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.